Before I chant, my name is Niranjana Swami. For those of you who may not know me, and I'm here visiting with a very dear friend and god brother. His name is Dear Shanta Goswami. He has come from England. Well, actually, he's come from Lithuania, but he's from England. And he'll be here in America with me for the next month. So we're traveling together. And we'll both speak a little bit from Bhagavad Gita. We both just arrived in America from different places. He arrived from Lithuania just the day before yesterday, and I arrived from Taiwan from the other direction. And we're both a little jet lagged, and we apologize for being a little late. But we got here in time. And before we begin speaking from Bhagavad Gita, we're going to just chant a little bit of Hare Krishna. Is everyone here familiar, or should I give a little explanation to some of you? I don't want to do anything that some of you may not be familiar with. So if there's anybody not familiar, I could speak a little bit about chanting so that you can participate with us. Our primary, and if you give me also, I'm not used to speaking in an English audience too. So usually where I am, nobody speaks English. And I always have somebody sitting right next to me translating, and I'm only speaking in small fragments at a time. So this is also a new experience, speaking straight in English. I'll try my best. Where chanting is, at least for those of us who are practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, is the foundation of our spiritual practice. And I oftentimes tell people that I've not really mastered anything in regards to chanting, but if I have any qualification whatsoever to speak on the topic of chanting Hare Krishna, it's only because I've been doing it for 45 years and I haven't stopped. So I think that in itself at least gives me some qualification to tell you a little bit about my 45 years of experiencing the chanting of Hare Krishna and what that has done for me, especially in terms of what I was told it would do for me, which initially attracted me to begin chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It was introduced to me as the mantra which could bring about a change of consciousness. And consciousness at which I had 45 years ago, I can honestly say, is different from the consciousness that I have today. 45 years ago, my perspective of the world was based on an experience of someone who had lived for 20 years and was based on an identification of a bodily concept of life, I will just put it simply. That's what I had known up until the time I began chanting Hare Krishna. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, used to give a simple analogy, and I heard it even way back then, and it really made a deep impression on me. And he explained that how by chanting Hare Krishna, the priorities of life change. And he gave an example of a mathematical equation. He says, if you have a mathematical equation, and if it's very complex equation, that no matter how long it takes you and how complex the equation is, if you write in the very beginning of your equation that 2 plus 2 equals 5, then the conclusion will always have to be false because of the significant error in the beginning of the equation. I was given that that analogy when I was an engineering major in the University of Massachusetts. So I could relate to it. And I had a difficult time with equations. And but I had enough knowledge to know that if you had 2 plus 2 equals 5 in the beginning, the conclusion would have to be false. So he used that analogy to in relationship to our perspective of this world. And he said that no matter how complex our society is, no matter how developed it may be in terms of technological advancement, in terms of good government, in terms of so many other programs which are designed to make people comfortable and happy in this world and to live in prosperity, peace, and happiness. He said that complex civilization, if it begins with a significant error, and the error is, as we said, with the mathematical equation of 2 plus 2 equals 5, but he used that analogy to say that the significant error is if we base our whole civilization exclusively on the idea that we are these bodies, then no matter how complex the civilization is, the conclusion will have to be false, because in the beginning, it's a very significant error. And the error is that we are more than these physical bodies. And simply to satisfy the demands and needs of the body and to satisfy the demands of the mind cannot satisfy the needs of the self or the soul within, which is the very basis of chanting Hare Krishna, that by chanting Hare Krishna, it gives us an understanding of our actual spiritual identity, that I am something, not only am I something different from this body, but that's partial understanding to know that there's something distinction between matter and spirit. Yes, I'm not body, I'm not matter, but who am I? And chanting Hare Krishna is something that helps us to establish that connection with that personality, that supreme person from whom everyone is connected, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Prata Pita. He said, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. So, we chant as our primary method for internal change of consciousness, an internal realization of an identity which is beyond the physical body, and to come to know the actual personality that I am. In fact, I use this example. It's a little funny, and it's very simple, it's very basic, but forgive me, it came to my mind, so I'm going to share it. I remember when I first started chanting Hare Krishna, my family was trying to understand what I was doing, and they couldn't understand completely. For them, I was simply a 20-year-old boy and didn't finish his college education, decided to do something else. And might have been making a very serious mistake in life, which at that time we were thinking. But I remember sitting with my stepfather, who was trying to understand this concept of body and soul. And I used a very simple example that was given to me by Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master. He said that that sometimes when referring to the I and the self, we mistakenly refer to the self or the I as, again, this physical body. He said, just like we don't say I hand, just even grammatically we say my hand. I don't say I leg, we say my leg. So I and the leg are different. So I was once doing an experiment with sitting with my stepfather, and I asked him, I said, can you please point to your leg? And he pointed to his leg. I said, very good, you've passed the test so far. And I said, can you please point to your arm? And he pointed to his arm. And then I said to him, can you please point to your head? And he pointed to his head. I said, can you please point to your foot? He pointed to his foot. I said, can you please point to your chest? He pointed to his chest. And I said, can you please point to yourself? And he went like this again. And I said, no, wait a minute, that's your chest. You just said it was your chest. Why did you point there? I said, the sun, his leg, his arm, his head, his chest, but the self, we very naturally, usually point there. Why? We can understand we point there because the self is located there. So I said, try again. You're pointing to your chest. Where's the self? So he thought about it, and he got very frustrated at one point, and then he put his one hand on his foot, and he put the other hand on his head. I said, no, that's your foot, and that's your head. I said, point to yourself, and he just, all of it! He got very angry, all of it! And I tried to say, no, no, that's your foot, that's your head, that's your chest, but where's the self? And I tried to explain the self is within. But at that point he got a little frustrated and he said, I think I've had enough of this game, and he decided to leave. But it's basic spiritual philosophy. And of course, the realization of it is, of course, is something that I've been learning for 45 years. You know, and that's where I say that my testimony is, because I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 45 years, and I was told in the beginning that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll gradually gain realization of the distinction between the body and the self. Well, I can say, okay, I've been doing it for 45 years, and I'm still on the path, but I've gotten to a sense of understanding the difference. Like, just like I said, I came here, just before I came here, I injured myself, and that's why I was a little bit late. I had to get my leg bandaged. A little blood, not so bad. But, you know, I have enough understanding to know there's a difference between what something physical happens to this body and then what happens to me is cannot be less affected if I know that I'm not this body. Pain may still be there. What to speak of the mind, because the mind is also another form of material energy. Krishna says, Bhumir apana lohayo kam mano buri evacha ahankara ityame bina prakriti ashtada. He says that this material energy, he says that there's the gross elements, the body, of the body, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and mind, intelligence, and false ego. These, he says, comprise my separated material energies. So the mind is also a product of the material energy. And chanting Hare Krishna helps us to understand not only the distinction between the soul and the body, but also helps us to understand the distinction between the soul and the mind. And the mind is more subtle. It's sometimes not so easy to make the distinction between I and the thoughts that are going through my mind. So Krishna says, besides these gross, physical, and subtle elements, this is superior energy, which is the living entity. The living entity situated within, who's struggling with material nature, working hard to sustain the universe. So these things can gradually be realized, not just by contemplation and by meditation, or not just by renunciation, which is what some people try to achieve and realize in the self. They try to renounce, they say, yes, I can understand I'm not this body and I'll try to renounce, but there's more. And again, it's realizing who I am. So we chant Hare Krishna with that understanding and with that introduction. We'll chant a little bit of Hare Krishna and all of you can chant with us. And then after chanting for a little while, I'll ask dear Shanta Maharaj, who is traveling with me, as I said, to speak a little bit from a verse from Bhagavad Gita for all of you. And that will be our program. And for those of you who wish to stay with us, please do so. And we'll chant a little bit right now.
From
First, I'll say a few prayers to my spiritual master. Sit here so I can hear them.